Well, good morning again. If you missed it earlier, I am Pastor Keith, and I hate to break up all your visiting, but I just want to welcome you here this morning as we begin to dig into God's Word together at the start of this year of 2023. And you know, I was thinking about it, and in an ending, right? An ending and a beginning. That's where we find ourselves today. As we know, one year has just ended, and a new year, or a new chapter, if you will, in our lives seems to begin today, right? And so this day, it offers us some things. It offers us a chance to look back, a chance to look back in something like gratitude and in reflection, right? And it offers us the opportunity to also look forward in what I will call anticipation, and with a refreshed sense of intentionality. So what I want to do today is I want to invite you, and I want to invite myself, as we write this new chapter in our lives, I want to invite us all to write it with God. To write it with God who created you. To write it with God who loves you. To write it with God who loves you so profoundly through his Son, Jesus the Christ. So what we're going to do today in just a few moments is, I'm going to invite you to renew your covenant, to renew your commitment, if you will, to follow this God of ours. And it seems like a perfect time to do this, or maybe you've never done something like this. So maybe for someone in here today, you will, for the first time, really make a commitment to your God who created you, your God who loves you. Every day seems like the perfect day for someone to do that. You see, the Bible, we find these times in it when the leaders invite their people to renew their commitment to follow God. And one of these occasions and where we see this is, it's found in Joshua chapter 24. In fact, if you want to get there now in your Bibles or on your device, you can do that. That would be great. And we're going to spend a few minutes here today, okay? Now this section, just to give us a little context, this section, it comes at the end of Joshua's life. The end of Joshua's life, which was a full and a fascinating life. You see, he started his life in captivity in Egypt. So think about this. With his own eyes, okay? With his own eyes, he saw the 10 miraculous judgments, or the plagues that were handed down against Egypt. And he saw, church, he saw with his own eyes what we just sang about. He saw the parting of the Red Sea. And he saw things like the pillar of fire that guided the Israelites. And you know what else? As Moses' assistant, he saw the challenges of leadership, both the joys and the sorrows of it. And you know what else? He watched the nation, his loved nation, he watched them as they rebelled against God many times, including when they refused to enter the promised land for lack of trust in God. And Joshua, as one of the 12 spies, I don't know if you know this, but he was one of the 12 spies to go in and to investigate this promised land. And he pleaded with the people. He pleaded with the people to follow God and to not follow their fears, but they couldn't. And so of that generation of adults, only Joshua and only Caleb, the two spies with a favorable report, only those two lived to enter the promised land. They lived to do that some 40 years later. And when Moses died, okay, Joshua, he became Israel's leader. He led the people. For example, when the walls of Jericho crashed to the ground And now here in Joshua chapter 24, we find Joshua at the end of his unexpected and full life. And as it, he calls the people. He calls them to recommit themselves to the leadership of God. He calls the people to recommit themselves to the one true God, to the God of Abraham. So what I want to do this morning, I want to look at how he does it. And I want to reflect on that. So let's look at Joshua chapter 24, starting in verse 1. God's word says this. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, and the officials of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, they lived beyond the Euphrates and worshiped other gods. But I, God, took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates, and I led him through Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I, God, sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help." Maybe there's a message right there. Different day. Maybe you need to cry today to the Lord for help. And you know what he did? He put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the seas over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. So Joshua reminds the people. He reminds the people of their unique relationship with God. How God used one nation in the Old Testament to reveal himself to the world. And then as we continue in verses 8 to 13, Joshua talks about things that they, the Israelites, that he's speaking to, have seen with their own eyes. Let's read it. Verse 8 to 13. "I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites." Do you feel like you have a lot of enemies? They did. "But I, says the Lord, I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings, you did not do it." Listen, you did not do it. Listen, you did not do it with your own sword or bow. We're not alone, church. "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil. I, your God, gave you cities you did not build, and you live in them, and you eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." In summary, as a reminder, all that they have, okay, their freedom, their homeland has come from God's hand. And we too, church, okay, we too, church, we have been delivered. We have been freed from the slavery to and of sin through Jesus, our rescuer. And we have an even greater inheritance, a promised homeland, a promised citizenship, a greater one than the one spoken of here. Do you get that? For we are citizens of heaven. Yeah. Citizens of heaven as believers in Christ, as recipients of God's grace, his pardon of us in Christ Jesus. And from there, we are welcomed. We are welcomed into participation into and with the kingdom of God. For through Jesus, we have been adopted into God's family. Now, quickly, to hear more all about that, being a part of God's family, and all that God gives us through Jesus, I gotta give a little plug to join us next week, okay? Because we're gonna begin a study of the book of Ephesians together. And we're gonna look at that, all that God has given us in detail, and what that means for us as his family. But right now, back to Joshua's words, back to Joshua's challenge. Because after reminding the people, Joshua then calls them. He calls them to reaffirm their commitment to God. And we're gonna look at the dialogue in just a second, okay? But as we do, okay, as we look at this dialogue, I would ask that you notice something. Notice how he, Joshua, he doesn't make it easy for them. So with that, let's read it, and I want to bring it more to life in these moments. So I'm going to read the section labeled Joshua, and then I would ask you all together as one voice to read the part labeled the people. So let's do that. Joshua 24, starting in verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served or the gods of those in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now your part, far be it. You will not be able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve other gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Now then, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Church, as one chapter ends and as another begins, and as Joshua neared his death and wanted to leave something meaningful for the people, he decided something. He decided it was a good time to challenge the people, to challenge them to remember, and to renew their covenant, to follow and to obey God. So this day, this day, the present day, January 1st, 2023, it is a good day. It is a good day to challenge ourselves. It is a good day to challenge ourselves to remember the way that God has provided, and primarily through Christ, yes, absolutely, but also in just life. Think on all that he has done for you. Think on all he's done for you this past year. Think of how he has brought us to this place that we are able to be here today. He has sustained us this year. Think on those things and be thankful. When you were hungry, he was there. When you were thirsty, he was there. When you were lonely, he was there. When I felt trapped in 2022, he was there. When you were sick, when you were scared, he was there. Now, sometimes you and I realized this. We realized it, but sometimes we didn't, right? Those times are on you and me, church. Not him. Because he's there. He's there, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. So for all that he has done, be thankful. For all that he has done, be thankful. And from that heart of gratitude, let's then follow Jesus into a life of more joyful obedience and surrender. So I ask you, church, and I ask you individually, okay? Choose this day. Choose. Choose whom you will serve. I'm battling with that question myself today. We need to choose whom we will serve. What lowercase g gods do you need to throw away today? What lowercase g gods do you need to throw away that are keeping you from serving him, the God again who created you and loves you? Is it yourself? Is it selfishness? Is it sinful desires? Is it comfort? Is it a substance? Is it being liked? Is it just fitting in? What is it? And whatever it is, okay, he will forgive you. He will forgive you and I for our past transgressions. He will forgive us in this moment, and he fights for you. He will fight for you to help you overcome it. He will fight for you and I to help set us on a new path. And what that path with you, he will walk it. He'll surround you in that path with his own presence. He'll bring others around you who want to walk that path, that narrow path versus the wide road that only per the Bible leads where? Destruction. So choose this day. Choose who you will serve. Now what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to give everyone here the opportunity to pray a prayer of what we call a covenant renewal, where you express that it is the desire of your own heart to follow God, who I am telling you, okay, will lead you to life. He will lead you to life. He will lead you to green pastures. Now, don't worry, okay? God does not expect you, and no one else should, okay? No one else should. God does not expect you to do so perfectly, to follow God perfectly, because only one did. Only one. Only one did, and you know what else? Only one was meant to, Christ. But you and me, us, well, we have been asked. We've been asked, and we've been given the power even through the Holy Spirit to grow in his likeness, our Savior's likeness. All is a testimony to God, all for his glory. Now, before we, whoever feels to recite this covenant prayer together, before we do this, as we enter this new season, as we kind of draw this line in the sand, I just want you to take a moment to hear it, okay? And to read it quietly, because I don't want people making a covenant renewal that they're not familiar with. I want you to hear this. I want you to reflect on it. So you might have got one of these bookmark looking things. It's on there. It's going to also be on the screen. But let me just read this for a second. And then after some reflection time, whoever feels comfortable, we're going to recite it together. But it says this: I place my life in your hands, for it to be yours to direct and not mine. May you decide what I should do and with whom I should do it. May you guide when I should be active and when I should rest. May you sustain me when I am well and when I suffer. May you be reflected in me when I am praised and when I am challenged. May I give thanks to you when I enjoy abundance and when I know what it is to go without. May my whole life be given in service of your love and salvation. Use all that I have and all that I am for your purposes. May I always remember that you, O God, and I belong to each other. Before all heaven and earth, I acknowledge you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as my Lord and God. I give all of myself, body and soul, to be your servant and to serve you all the days of my life. This is my commitment. I stand by it. And I ask that you, Jesus, bear witness to it. Now, as you reflect on this covenant, and as you think about the words that we just read, and as you consider your reciting of it together as a church family, let's just sit for a minute. Let's sit for a minute. Let's reflect on these words. Let's think about what we're thankful for and what God has done, and think about our expression of a commitment back to him. And as you do that, and as I do that, I just want to watch this song together via a video. So just sit and reflect.